Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing, or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit ncl.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
Some houses don't feel old until you've lived in them long enough to notice how they breathe. The one they moved into had been standing for more than 100 years, its bones worn smooth by generations of people who treated it as permanent. It wasn't just old in age, it was old in use. Almost everyone in her mom's boyfriend's family had lived there at one point or another. His grandparents, his parents, relatives who came and went, leaving behind furniture, habits, and stories no one really told anymore. People were born there. People died there. When she first arrived, she was 10 years old, and none of that mattered yet. The house felt ordinary enough. The floors creaked, the doors stuck in their frames, the walls held sound strangely, as if they absorbed it before letting it travel. But nothing about it felt threatening. For a long time, it was just a house. The first thing that happened came and went so quickly, she almost convinced herself it never did. Her mom and her mom's boyfriend, John, had gone out on a date. They were still new together then, careful, tentative. Her brother stayed home to babysit. She remembers sitting downstairs watching television, bored, restless, flipping through channels without really watching anything. At some point, she wandered into the small room near the back of the house where shoes were kept. She doesn't remember why. Maybe she was just pacing. Maybe she was looking for something to do. She opened the door. In the corner of the room, something was there. At first, it didn't register as a person. It was more like the suggestion of one. A face partially visible, half-formed in shadow. She couldn't make out clear features, just the sense of eyes, a mouth, something angled toward her. Then it spoke. The sound was loud, abrupt, cutting through the quiet of the house. She couldn't remember the words afterward. Only the shock of it. The certainty that whatever had made that sound had not been part of the room a moment before. She screamed. She ran upstairs, heart pounding so hard she thought it might burst. Her brother followed her back down, flipping on lights, checking corners, opening doors. The shoe room was empty. Nothing was out of place. No one was there. They tried to laugh it off. She tried to forget it. And for a long time, the house let her. Years passed. Life filled in the space where fear might have grown. School, friends, ordinary routines. The memory of the face in the shoe room dulled, shrinking into something that felt more like a childhood scare than a real event. Then Christmas came. She was almost 13 when her brother gave her a Ouija board. By then, she'd already heard the warnings. She knew the stories people told. But knowing something is dangerous doesn't always stop curiosity. Sometimes it sharpens it. She waited until she was alone, upstairs, door closed, lights off. The house quiet in the way old houses get late at night when even the walls seem to settle into listening. And she asked if anyone was there. Nothing happened. She kept asking questions. Time stretched. 20 minutes passed. When the planchette finally moved, it did so lazily, answering no to everything she asked. Uneasy, she said goodbye and packed the board away. That should have been the end of it. Instead, her body reacted. A headache bloomed suddenly, sharp and heavy behind her eyes. Heat flushed through her skin. Sweat broke out across her back and neck. She tried to move and found she couldn't, not fully. Her limbs felt disconnected, heavy, like they weren't responding correctly to her thoughts. Her brother walked in mid-episode, asking her something unrelated. The sound of his voice pulled her back just enough that she could answer. She didn't tell him what she'd felt. She didn't even have words for it yet. After that night, the house stopped feeling neutral. Small things began happening, objects shifting slightly when no one was around. A cabinet door opening and falling while she sat alone at the computer. Sounds that didn't match any normal movement in the house, and she didn't jump at every noise. She wasn't hysterical. She just noticed. She also began dreaming more intensely. One dream in particular stayed with her. She saw a dead man standing near her brother's room. She saw an old dog pacing nearby. She saw an older woman dressed in black, crying quietly, her grief heavy and unrelenting. When she woke up, the images didn't fade the way dreams usually do. They lingered. After the dream, she started paying closer attention to the house, not in a panicked way, more like someone learning the rhythms of a place they no longer fully trust. She noticed which boards creaked and which ones didn't, which doors caught in their frames, how sound carried differently at night, bending strangely through the walls and ceilings, and she noticed what didn't fit. It began with movement at floor level, not full shapes at first, more like the suggestion of something passing quickly through a room. A blur, low to the ground, gone before she could focus on it. At first, she thought it was her eyes adjusting to light changes or shadows cast by passing cars. But the shape was wrong. It moved too deliberately, too low, roughly the size of a medium dog. She saw it once near the kitchen, another time crossing the hallway, always fast, always gone before she could react. She remembered seeing something similar once when she was younger, around 10, but then it had been isolated, easy to forget. Now it happened often enough that she stopped questioning whether it was real. She didn't tell anyone, not at first. The house itself remained mostly quiet. No dramatic crashes, no screaming voices. That somehow made it worse. The activity felt restrained, like whatever was present didn't need to prove itself. When her friend Mary came over, Chelsea finally told someone. Mary listened without interrupting. Her family on her dad's side believed they could sense disasters before they happened. Earthquakes, floods, things like that. Mary didn't roll her eyes. She didn't laugh. She suggested they use the Ouija board. They waited until they were alone upstairs, door closed, lights off, the glow from the hallway barely leaking under the door. The board rested between them on the carpet. At first, nothing happened. The silence stretched long enough to become uncomfortable. Chelsea felt foolish, almost relieved. Maybe she really was overreacting. Then the planchette moved. Not dramatically, not forcefully, just enough to answer. Yes. They asked simple questions. The answers stayed short, controlled. Mary asked if whatever was there was with them in the room. Yes. Mary's voice tightened. She asked if they could stop. The planchette slid to goodbye. They didn't argue. Mary sat back on the bed, exhaling sharply. A few seconds passed before she went still. Chelsea, she said quietly. Something just touched my leg. Chelsea stood up immediately, crossing the room. And as she did, the small lamp beside the bed began flickering, not dimming slowly, flicking on and off rapidly, as if someone was playing with the switch. They didn't scream. They ran. Down the stairs, heart pounding, neither of them looking back. They didn't talk about it much afterward. Most of the time, when Chelsea tried the board alone or with others, nothing happened. But that night stayed with her. It felt different. Intentional. Months later, Allie came over. Allie said she was sensitive to things. Chelsea didn't know what to make of that, but almost immediately, Allie's demeanor changed when she stepped inside the house. She grew quiet, watchful. They carried milk upstairs to Chelsea's room. Allie stopped abruptly. "Did you drop something?" she asked. Chelsea hadn't. Allie stared at the floor. "Something cold just brushed my foot," she said. "Not like air, like contact." Chelsea told her about the dog then. Later, they tried recording. First with an old iPod set up to film the room. The footage was dark and poorly angled, but when they reviewed it, they heard faint tapping sounds. Slow, rhythmic. Sounds neither of them remembered hearing at the time. They tried again. This time they used a laptop to record audio and set the camera closer. They asked questions. Nothing responded. But when they played the audio back, there was another voice beneath Chelsea's, a man's voice, low, whispered, answering questions that hadn't been spoken aloud. Words like yes, phrases that suggested presence, nearness. They took the recording downstairs. Chelsea's mom listened politely, skeptical but calm. Then she looked at John. Something passed between them, a look Chelsea didn't understand at the time. John finally spoke. His grandparents had lived in that house. His grandfather had died there. Chelsea asked about the dog. John paused. "Yes," he said quietly. "They had a dog. It died here too." They went back upstairs afterward. Chelsea noticed something else then. One of Allie's traps, a folded piece of paper placed inside the closet door, had been disturbed. The edge was bent inward, creased sharply. They checked the video again. This time something appeared clearly near the closet. Right beside Chelsea, arms, hands, fingers, pale shapes, reflecting light in a way that didn't match anything in the room. They moved slowly, deliberately, hovering where no one stood. When Chelsea shifted, they vanished. No one slept well that night, and when Allie left the next day, Chelsea didn't feel relief. She expected the house to settle, to return to its familiar background creaks and silence. Instead, it felt alert, not hostile, not aggressive, just awake, as though something had been paying attention while people were present and now had space to exist more freely. The house didn't announce itself. It never did. Chelsea noticed the change in smaller ways. The air felt heavier in certain rooms, especially late in the afternoon when sunlight slanted through the windows at odd angles. She began avoiding the shoe room entirely. The hallway outside her brother's room felt colder than the rest of the house, even when the heat was on. And the shadows continued. They stayed low to the ground, slipping through her peripheral vision, like animals that didn't want to be seen directly. Every time she turned her head fast enough to catch one, it was already gone. She stopped trying to prove they were there. She knew what she saw. Not long after, her mom, brother, and Chelsea left town for a short family trip. John stayed behind, leaving the house quieter than it had been in years. Before they left, Chelsea took care of the cat meticulously. Fresh food, fresh water, clean litter. She double-checked everything, lingering longer than necessary, rubbing behind the cat's ears, feeling a knot tighten in her chest. And when they came back days later, the house greeted them with silence. The bowls were untouched, not a single bite missing, the water dish still full, the litter box clean. The cat was wrong. She wouldn't touch the floor. She leapt from surface to surface and coffee table to couch, couch to side table, as if the space beneath her paws was dangerous. Her movements were frantic, jerky, her eyes darting constantly toward corners and doorways. When she did cross open space, she ran full speed, claws skittering as she scrambled for height. The cat meowed constantly, sharp, distressed sounds that didn't fade no matter how much they tried to comfort her. She stared into empty rooms. She flinched at noises no one else seemed to hear. That first night back, Chelsea's mom fell asleep on the couch. The cat's cries grew louder, more urgent, enough to wake everyone in the house. When they went downstairs, the cat pressed herself into the cushions, trembling, refusing to be moved. Chelsea tried to carry her upstairs, and the cat bolted free, racing back down, hiding again on the couch, eyes locked on the darkness of the living room. Chelsea felt sick watching her. Over the next few days, the house began making itself known to Chelsea alone. Soft footsteps echoed from the attic. Not the sharp sounds of animals, not the settling pops of old wood. These were slow, deliberate steps, measured, as if something were pacing. Gentle banging sounds followed her through the house, never loud enough to alarm anyone else. Always just enough for her to notice. When she stood still too long, the noises felt closer. Her cat refused to eat unless Chelsea stayed nearby. She shadowed her constantly, tail low, body tense, eyes scanning. Whenever Chelsea sat down, the cat climbed into her lap immediately, claws digging in as if anchoring herself. Chelsea started texting her mom when things happened. I hear footsteps again. There's banging in the attic. The cat won't stop staring at the hallway. The replies were always the same. It's okay. A smiley face, reassurance, without curiosity. A conversation ender. No one else heard the sounds. No one else saw the shadows. No one else noticed the pale mist that sometimes gathered near her brother's room, tall and narrow, forming briefly before dissolving. Chelsea began crying quietly at night, not because something attacked her, but because she felt trapped inside the experience, like the house had chosen her as its witness, like whatever remained there didn't need to frighten everyone, just her. She stopped using the Ouija board entirely. She put it away where she wouldn't see it. She stopped asking questions. She stopped recording. She avoided standing still. She kept lights on. She slept with her door closed, even though it made her feel boxed in. Whenever she sensed movement, she refused to react. And slowly, almost reluctantly, things softened. The footsteps became less frequent. The banging faded into the background hum of an old house settling. The shadows appeared less often until days passed without seeing them at all. Her cat began stepping onto the floor again, cautiously, tentatively, sniffing, retreating, testing the space like it might betray her at any moment. Chelsea still doesn't know what exactly shared that house with her. She knows people live there. She knows people died there. She knows grief and routine and memory don't always leave cleanly. What she doesn't know is why it seemed to notice her more than anyone else. Maybe it didn't. Maybe she was simply the one who paid attention.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.